Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Thursday, June 1st, and yes, I'm back. Matt Harmon, podcasting via the Condo Cast, my mom's condo here in Virginia Beach. We've made it safe. It's awesome. Good stuff. So glad to be here. So glad to be back on the podcast. It's weird having been away doing the show like every day in the season and then off season doing it a ton and like just taking a full week and a half away, and I already feel like I don't know how to podcast anymore, which I don't even know if I was ever very good at podcasting. So it's great stuff. I'm excited to be back on the show, and I'm very excited to be starting our summer series, which we'll be talking about here in just a minute, and most excited to be joined by Dalton Del Don. Dalton, thanks for holding it down for me while I was away. What's going on, man?
Not much, Harmon. You tell me, how was the cross-country trip? First, congrats, and secondly, do you have any stories? You've made a whole entire cross-country drive.
Yeah, so this would only happen to us, but like literally the day before we're about to move, my wife sprained a muscle in her foot. So I had to basically kind of cancel all of our plans for the first day, which was going to be, you know, putzing around Arizona and like seeing the Grand Canyon and the Painted Desert. Cause she like literally can't walk, you know, so we're not going to go walking through the Grand Canyon or anything. So that was definitely kind of a bummer. You know, and also just classic California, bro. Right as we're about to leave, you know, I wanted to leave that Thursday at noon, and we ended up leaving at, you know, like 1:30, 2 o'clock. And that difference basically caused like a 5 hour delay. Added like another 5 hours. So we didn't get to our first place, which had this like brewery in Arizona right next to the hotel. We didn't get there till like 11 o'clock. So it was like one classic last FU from the state of California as I'm leaving it. So that was probably the low lights, but we did stay in Asheville one night. That was really cool. Would love to go back to that town when my wife can actually walk. But yeah, it was a great trip. Had a lot of fun, and just being back here since Monday, definitely very happy with my decision to come here. So we're very excited.
I've been stuck in that same LA to Phoenix traffic multiple times. Brutal. And hope Bree is feeling better. That sounds sounds rough.
Yeah, she's starting to feel better for sure. So but that was just like, oh man, terrible timing. But she's starting to feel better. So we hit the condo gym here this morning. Oh my God, what an exciting spot, dude. They got everything you need there. My expectations were low for the condo gym, and they've got everything, man. So she's doing good. We're doing good. The pups are loving being here too. So no complaints. And I'm doing a great, you know, job podcasting, I think, from this little like folding table that I'm on right now. So for the YouTube viewers, sorry for the plain white folding door background we've got here. It doesn't hold a candle to Dalton's Trey Lance. It's just the best I can do for right now.
You look good. Look good. Let's talk some football. You've been missed, man. You've been missed on the show.
Dude, I have missed doing the show. I've missed you guys. I've missed the listeners. And I feel like there's really two big stories that I definitely like really missed something. You know, for the most part, you take some time off at the end of June to move, or the end of May, beginning of June to move across country. You're not going to miss much. But there were two things where I was like, damn, why is this got to be happening, you know, right now as I'm trying to load the truck back up in Arizona or New Mexico or wherever the hell we were. The first of which, DeAndre Hopkins was officially released. He's a free agent. It kind of seemed like, Dalton, that it was going to come to this, because it's pretty clear he didn't want to really be with the Cardinals anymore, regardless of any public sentiments. And he was going to go play somewhere else, but you know, from a salary perspective, from a trade compensation perspective, they were not going to get what they wanted. So the two part ways, there's been a couple of interesting kind of, you know, insider takeaways after this has happened. The first of which was that ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that the Bills and the Chiefs are in, quote, an arms race for free agent wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. That makes sense. Those are the two, I think, most likely teams for him to land on, although I'm curious if you have any dark horses. The second of which I really want to get into with you here, Dalton, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, wrote that the interest for DeAndre Hopkins is very tepid from some teams. And he said that he might have to be, choose between taking the bag and, chasing a ring. He included a couple of really interesting quotes in his article. He polled a few executives and found there's like what he called a healthy divide on exactly what Hopkins has left. One veteran team executive said, he answered via text, like he doesn't have much left. He can't run anymore. Another was very different, saying he's, quote, still a good player, good route runner, big physical target that can play the ball in the air. He's still a threat. A third sort of played both sides of it and said, quote, he still has great hands. He's not going to separate, not much of a deep threat, but he's very strong and makes contested catches as well as anyone in the NFL. Also noted that he does not love to practice. I can't imagine that's going to get any better as he ages, when things don't go well. You're always going to be leery. All right, what kind of drama are we getting from this guy? There was some of that obviously at the end of his Texans tenure, stuff like that. But that might be why he's not a culture fit for every single team. Again, we can get into that. But he also said, while he shows up on game day, you're going to have to know that you're not going to get a perfect attendance type of worker in practice, essentially. I'm kind of paraphrasing there. But so interesting stuff in the release of Hopkins and the reaction of it, Dalton. But I'm curious from like a real life perspective, from a fantasy perspective, what do you think is the best fit for Hopkins from all of the realistic possible journeys here?
First off, this is huge news for Hollywood Brown. It's fantasy value, who is the wide receiver 6 in fantasy points per game before breaking his foot last year. He had a 24% target share when Hopkins was off the field. He already led all receivers last year in inaccurate target percentage. So yes, the quarterback situation is going to be shaky, but he was still plenty fantasy valuable dealing with that last year. Hopkins will be major fantasy ramifications, even if he has lost a step, because he commanded targets last year, still finished top 20 in yards per route run. I know it's not a perfect stat, but he can't be totally washed if he's doing that with that quarterback play. Does he join Kansas City? And that would be probably pretty awesome for fantasy terms. I'm not drafting Kelsey myself anyway. Buffalo, that'd be a headache with Diggs. It would certainly hurt their fantasy terms, but it would increase their chances of winning the Super Bowl. And then Houston would probably be the more taking the bag route. And I would personally hate that because I'm loaded with Nico Collins and I want to see Mechie and the young guys. But it totally makes sense. The bag or the ring is what it sounds like. It sounds like the Chiefs and the Bills are fighting for his services and they were trying to trade for him beforehand. But it's definitely going to come down to a personal decision of which route he wants to take. And there'll be fantasy ramifications regardless, even if it's a bad NFL team or a great one.
Yeah. And just on the part about what he has left, his 2019, really 2018 to 2020 run in reception perception was, incredible. We're talking about some of the best success rate versus, like, 77% success rate versus man, 76.5% success rate versus man in 2019 and 2020. Extremely high scores, over 82% success rate versus zone in back-to-back years. 2019, he was like almost 80% success rate versus press. Like, the guys who are doing 75%+ against man coverage, over 80% success rate versus zone, and near 80% success rate versus press, those are like the elite wide receivers. So, in 2019, 2020, Those are some of top level stuff that he's doing there. Now, the last 2 years, we know he's been dealing with injuries and he hasn't been available. There was the PED suspension. He's down to like 72% success rate versus man in 2021 and 2022. His press scores are lower. He's below 80% success rate versus zone. So he's definitely a declining player. I don't agree that he's not going to separate anymore. I think he's still, I'm kind of with that second GM there, or second executive that Albert Breer quoted, like that he's still a good player. He is still a good route runner and a big physical target that plays the ball well in the air. I still think he has, he's definitely not at the elite level anymore. He's definitely not an elite number one type of wide receiver, but I think he could be, like, if I'm sitting down and ranking real life NFL receivers, I'm probably not putting Hopkins in my top 10 anymore. But I still think he can be a very good top target, which is why the Chiefs landing spot just makes so much sense to me, because they don't have a big physical type of X receiver. They have MVS, but he's a very specific type of player. They have a gadget guy in Tony. They have a slot flanker type in Sky Moore that I really like. I'm still very, very much in the we'll see camp with the whole Justin Ross training or, OTA hype, the whole thing. I'm obviously a we'll see guy with all of these wide receivers. So that's the one that makes the most sense to me. The Bills one, I'm with you. That would cause a real disruption in the potential target tree there, although he'd be a massive upgrade on Gabe Davis as the X receiver in that offense. So those two landing spots I kind of go a little back and forth on. Are there any like dark horse type of landing spots that you like for him that, you know, that, that aren't typically mentioned?
Not really among those. I just really haven't gone past those three. I know the Jets have already said, no, we're set at wide receiver. So not really beyond those three. You tell me if you can think of one. I will say, I think Hopkins settles in around wide receiver 20 area in fantasy. I think Hollywood Brown jumps up to that area right there too. Right now his ECR is like wide receiver 35, but I think he jumps right around Hopkins area as a borderline top 20 fantasy wideout now. But no, what other team? Do you have one in mind?
Detroit. I think I've mentioned the podcast before. Now I've heard other people point this out, and this is very fair. That last quote that I brought up there about, you know, he doesn't love to practice. You can't imagine that's going to get any better. When things are great, he's great. You know, when they go south, his true colors show a little bit. That's a quote from the, you know, which obviously I don't know anything about. I've talked to DeAndre Hopkins once and I enjoyed the conversation, but I don't know anything about like, you know, that type of stuff. You do kind of wonder if that fits in with what they're building in Detroit, right? The whole Dan Campbell grinders biting your kneecap off thing and like a young sort of team. But it's exactly the type of move, a team like that, that should smell blood in the water in the NFC, that, you know, they can potentially one big pass catching addition. Could that jump them into the tier with the Cowboys or, you know, like that next group of teams outside of Dallas or outside of Philadelphia and San Francisco, that next group, does that jump them to the top there if they get that type of receiver? And you look at their depth chart, I continue to be like, what are we doing here at the receiver position with Jameson Williams out for six games? You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a stone cold stud. And I don't even know that adding a guy like Hopkins would really cause me to lower St. Brown because their roles are so different, but they absolutely need an X receiver. They absolutely need someone. Even when Williams is there, I'm not sure Jameson Williams is a guy that's going to command 8 to 10 targets a game, that's going to win on those intermediate routes. Like, I think he's going to be a very specific type of player. So even when Williams is back, you have Hopkins at X, St. Brown at big slot. You have Williams as sort of a field stretcher, both horizontally and vertically. That's a really good receiver core. And I think that there's a scenario, as much as I liked Williams as a prospect, like there's a scenario that even when he's on the field in the later half of the season, that you're still looking at like this Lions pass catching group and thinking it's not enough. So that's why I kind of like this as a dark horse landing spot for Hopkins, but I don't know that it's going to happen.
Lions are a great call. If not, New England with Bill O'Brien back there. I'm joking, of course, but it is
like teams that need him. They'd have to be at the top of the list. Just wonder if that, like, if the personality stuff would work.
Yeah, I don't think he was a fan of Bill O'Brien. And also, we cannot stop the Tyquan Thornton train there. So we need him. Detroit is actually a perfect landing spot. That's a good one I missed.
Yeah. So regardless, I think we're both kind of like, we don't think Hopkins is washed. We think he still has something left. I definitely think he could be just a really good quality, if not number one receiver, like a 1B type, which is why he'd be a good fit in Buffalo. I agree with you, he'd mess the target tree up, but he makes a lot of sense. And I don't think he'd necessarily shave in too much to Stephon Diggs. He'd just like X out like the Dalton Kincaid hype. He'd X out any sort of Gabe Davis bounce back thing. And I'm with you too. Like, I'm glad you've brought up Marquise Brown a couple of times here. Marquise Brown, I think, is, now that Tyler Lockett typically gets the national respect that he deserves, although not from bonehead fantasy drafters who still like never take him high enough, I think Marquise Brown might be in the conversation of most underrated receiver in the NFL. The guy's just like a good quality player, even if he was drafted really high, you know, the size stuff, whatever. I think Marquise Brown's a really good player. He just might be catching passes from like Colt McCoy and, you know, someone else for half the season. Who knows? But all right, we're kind of on the same page with this one. Let's talk about your boy, Jimmy G. This one, I think I only caught like glimpses of when I was, you know, filling my gas tank or whatever. I'm like, what is going on with this whole Jimmy G Raiders contract? So Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio uncovered in Jimmy Garoppolo's contract, There's an issue here. Do you remember, Dalton, when the Raiders like delayed his introductory press conference and like, oh no, it's not a big deal. Turns out it was kind of a big deal. Basically, he failed his physical at his signing and he had foot surgery And now he can be released without any penalty by the Raiders this summer because of that foot injury. He delayed the surgery, right, so that he could potentially come back in the postseason for the 49ers. Turned out to be a bad decision. So Garoppolo's deal originally included an $11.25 million signing bonus, but that was converted to part of his base salary after he failed his Raiders physical at signing. Basically, Florio found that he can be cut, like I said, for any reason related to his foot. But that $22.5 million base salary becomes guaranteed once he passed the physical and is active for at least one regular season game, and he does not suffer a re-injury to his left foot. So hell of a job by Mike Florio uncovering this thing. Dalton, this has a potential to it. I guess there's a potential it could be nothing, but it also has potential to be a disaster for the Raiders right now.
I do remember that press conference because I know I don't follow baseball, but Carlos Correa signed the fourth richest contract in pro sports history on the Giants, and they delayed the press conference. And people like, what's up? And it revealed an injury, and it's been voided, and he was gone.
Yeah,
and
yes, the Raiders
moved to Las Vegas, but some of the same exact Bay Area beat writers are covering both, and they're like, uh-oh, you know, is this a Correa situation? Yeah. And it wasn't revealed right away. So yeah, Florio does deserve credit for digging this one up, but it's a disaster waiting to happen because Garoppolo was already one of the more injury-prone players. He put off the surgery, which he's done before in the past. We could be seeing a lot of Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell. Oof. It just makes Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs riskier fantasy picks. And I would put to bed the notion of maybe Tom Brady will step up now as the owner. First of all, it takes like a 32-0 owner vote. And I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo's health status, which would factor into Tom Brady's decision if he wants to play football or not. Yeah, this given Garoppolo is going to, you know, see his YPA decline dramatically without Shanahan. He's still, you know, a league average or a little below. And it's a big drop off for Aiden O'Connell and Brian Hoyers of the world.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at like Davante Adams. Great discussion point here. You know, you saw the article that came out with him a few weeks ago, I think, from The Ringer, where he was like, I proved last year I'm quarterback proof. Like, you don't talk about he's a product of Aaron Rodgers anymore, which I 100% agree with, right? Like that, I would have said you don't talk about Aaron Rodgers in terms of Davante Adams' greatness before that because of who he was as an individual player. Well, let me tell you what, there's still a pretty big drop off going from even from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr, but from Derek Carr to, you know, Aiden O'Connell and Brian Hoyer. I mean, Brian Hoyer should be like a quarterback coach. I don't know that he should be a backup quarterback in the NFL right now. And right now, Davante Adams is still the seventh wide receiver in expert consensus rankings right now. You know, he's pretty high just in terms of overall players. He's the 17th overall player off the board. Do you feel comfortable with that, knowing in the back of your mind, like, not only is there a chance Jimmy G might miss games, there's a chance that if Jimmy G's foot's not right, they just cut him before week one. And then, I mean, what are the Raiders going to do at quarterback at that point? I have no idea. Like there's a timeline there where, you know, Davante Adams is traded before the deadline, which actually might be good for him. But I don't know, man. You're right. That makes him incredibly risky.
He proved me wrong last year, though, and he's the beast, maybe still the best real-life receiver. But in fantasy, given these risks, I'm taking CeeDee Lamb ahead of him. I might even be talked into Amon-Ra St. Brown ahead of him. I mean, the targets are just going to be so, so massive, especially the first half of the year. But yeah, no, there's risk here. And also with Jacobs, just, you know, the career year that he had, career best season when he had it, I think he is equally, if not a bigger risk as well.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, running back 7 off the board right now. I could definitely be talking to Tony Pollard over him, who's ranked running back 9 in
8 days a week
rankings.
For me. Yeah, 8 days. Yeah. I would take Breece Hall over him.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, Breece Hall is like, yeah, running back 11. Ramondre Stevenson, running back 10. Stevenson's an interesting one to talk about. Derrick Henry, running back 8. I mean, you know, we know what the concerns are with Henry, but still, I think they're, if you're worried about the Titans offense dropping off and Henry falling off a cliff, I think you have to be worried about the Raiders offense falling off a cliff and having that effect with Josh Jacobs.
Chubb, one more too, with no cream on. I take Nick Chubb over him.
100%. He's running back 6, by the way, in consensus ranking. Okay. So I think we're kind of on the same page with that one for sure. I mean, dude, I might like Nick Chubb over Saquon Barkley, like we talked about with Andy, I think, last time on the podcast. And just on the receiver thing, you know, AJ Brown is behind Davante Adams in consensus rankings. I would take definitely, like, without a bit of hesitation. And I love Davante Adams, and I agree with you. I think he still might be the best real life receiver in the NFL. Like, he's in that conversation with Justin Jefferson for sure, but I think I would take AJ Brown over Davante Adams. I'm with you that, like, I think I'm at least thinking about Amon-Ra St. Brown. What about any of these next guys? Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, Devontae Smith. Any of those guys who are 10 to 11 in consensus rankings right now, are you taking any of those guys ahead of Davante Adams?
I have Adams ranked ahead of all of them except, I mean, I would consider Wilson, but I just like to know the Rodgers factors. It's, you know, who knows? He just, you know, if he lucked in. It sounds like he's a special player. It doesn't matter. And I could be talked into Garrett Wilson come August. Yes.
Got it. I think I'm with you there as well. Probably not taking Waddle, Higgins, or Smith. As much as I like those players, they're still the second wide receivers on their own team. So, all right, let's get into it. It's time to kick off our summer series called Flip the Script. Dalton, man, a lot going on in the NFL right now. You know, it's a lot of like OTAs and you know, the Chiefs are convinced that Kadarius Toney has no limits in his skill set. That's what's going on in the NFL right now. So we're not going to sit here and break down what are your takeaways from minicamp or what are your rookie minicamp or what are your takeaways from this rookie's claws in his we're not going to be doing any of that. We're going to do this summer series called Flip the Script, basically for the month of June. We're going to look back at the biggest surprises from last year and try to predict who could be the biggest surprises this year. I know people get up in their feelings about who's going to be this year's X player or this year's Jaguars. I don't care. I like it. And it's a good way to frame analysis. Okay. So relax. We're going to basically alternate between surprise teams and surprise fantasy stars from 2022 with each podcast. And we could think of no better way to start this than trying to identify, Dalton, who will be this year's Jaguars. What do you think? Good idea, bad idea? You can tell me it's terrible on the podcast right now. I won't get my feelings hurt.
No, it sounds like a great idea. Let's have some fun with it. Just quickly, about every time I read a Kadarius Toney hype piece, I have to remind myself he played 8 snaps in the Super Bowl, healthy. So I just have to keep pumping the brakes a little there. But man, they are excited about Toney. But I'm excited about this this feature. Let's talk. Who is going to be? There's plenty of options. You look at the last place finishers last year, and we were only able to immediately kind of rule out one team.
Yeah, exactly, and just. To pull it back a little bit here, like as it stands right now, we all know the Jaguars are like kind of a dark horse contender in the AFC. There's a ton of reason to be excited about them. They're outright incredibly heavy favorites to win the AFC South. You know, I love Calvin Ridley and what he's going to do for the offense, but let's remember 365 days ago, they were still like a laughingstock. People were clowning them for the Christian Kirk contract. I still think it took like multiple months, games into the season, to get the stench of the Urban Meyer, Bourbon Meyer, you know, get that stench off the franchise to recover from that. On December 5th, they were 4-8 and recovering from an embarrassing blowout at the hands of the Detroit Lions. Then they won 5 straight, historic comeback in the wild card round. People were definitely ready, Dalton, to like type the, do we need to be concerned about Trevor Lawrence in the first half of that game? Those articles were about to get written. But now the Jaguars in a good place. They put up a good fight in Arrowhead against the eventual Super Bowl champion Chiefs. So like, that's the team we're trying to remember, like trying to come up with here. Who's going to go from fourth? We set it to just basically fourth to first in their own division. And by the way, this is not a unique thing to last year's Jaguars. Producer Colin noted this, that since 2002, 25 teams have gone from worst to first, essentially one team a year. So like you said, let's take a look at the candidates and make our pick. We're just run through the candidates here real quick. In the AFC East, we have the New York Jets. AFC North, we have the Cleveland Browns. AFC West, Denver Broncos. AFC South, Houston Texans. NFC East, Washington Commanders. NFC North, Chicago Bears. NFC South, it's the Falcons. You know, technically, they were the fourth place team in the division, but I mean, Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta, we can all lump them together because their win percentage was the exact same. And then in the AFC or NFC West, excuse me, we have the Cardinals. So are there any of those teams you just want to eliminate right off the bat?
Yeah, I'd say the Cardinals right away with their roster and their quarterback situation. I mean, Kyler Murray's no guarantee to even play at all. I think they're the leaders in the clubhouse for the Caleb Williams sweepstakes. Unfortunately, as a Niners fan, maybe the Raiders though, with Jimmy G's foot. But yeah, I don't think the Cardinals. I mean, the Seahawks got loaded in the draft. They made the playoffs last year. The 49ers roster, you know, they're one of the two favorites in the NFC. So it's a tough division as well. So it looks like the Cardinals can be written off right now.
Yeah, and even as much as I've been like, have we seen the defensive depth chart for the LA Rams? And it's just not a very good roster. If Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald all stay healthy, I realize those are big ifs, but if they stay healthy, like, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be a better team than whatever the Arizona Cardinals are going to roll out. So, like, yeah, they're like number one with a bullet. You can cross them off this list. Are there any others, though, that you think we just shouldn't even bother talking about? Like, it's just not possible for them to make this sort of leap.
Man, I try to keep an open mind. So, I mean, probably I'd say Houston. I'd say Houston because I'm really big. That division's fairly wide open aside from Jacksonville. But let's look in context of Trevor Lawrence here. So last year, Jalen Hurts was both ready to break out himself, a big improvement, and they added A.J. Brown, a top 10 receiver. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly you get an MVP candidate, Hurts. Well, here's Lawrence, already did the breakout, ready for even further growth. And they're adding the top, whatever, 20 type real life talent in Calvin Ridley. So he might be a real MVP type candidate this year. So I think it'd be tough for this Houston squad to leap the Jaguars absent a major Trevor Lawrence injury. And then what else? Maybe the Bears. That division may be more open than some realize, but they have the worst point differential in the league in the NFC. And Justin Fields just looks like so much better of a fantasy player than a real life player. You look at his sack rate. It was historically bad. It would take just a gigantic growth from him. So I might try to talk him into the Bears as well. Much to Andy Behrens' chagrin.
I think we keep the Bears among the contenders, but I'm kind of with you that a really good season for the Houston Texans is like they win five games. Like we got to remember what they're not coming back from an isolated disaster incident like the Urban Meyer thing was for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but they're coming off like multiple years of just not being a serious NFL operation. You know, obviously the Deshaun Watson thing was a catastrophe from an off-field perspective, but even before all of the you know, sexual harassment and stuff came out with Deshaun Watson, they were in a bad place with Watson. He was trying to get traded out of there because they were such a disaster. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, they trade him for David Johnson in the second round pick. Like, that they had been a laughing stock basically since like 2020. Really ever since Patrick Mahomes was 24-0 comeback in the playoffs against those Houston Texans. That's how far the Texans have fallen the last few years. So I'm with you that I don't think they can really make that same leap that Jacksonville did. And some of their best players, like CJ Stroud and Will Anderson, like if they're immediate franchise type players, maybe, but yeah, I think we can take the Texans off the list, but let's keep the Bears in it. Okay. And let's just go through these teams and let's start with the New York Jets. I think it's kind of obvious like why they could be this year's Jaguars. They acquired a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. They were basically a playoff team last year. If they just had like Mike White at quarterback for a long stretch of time, if he had not gotten hurt, I think they probably would have been a playoff team. So if their defense maintains even maybe not the level that they were at last year, but they remain a top 10 defense, Garrett Wilson takes that step into superstardom, and Aaron Rodgers is just even the guy he was last year. And I think there's been a little bit of revisionist history of how bad Rodgers was last year. You watch those receivers play last year. Rodgers is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there for guys like Romeo Dobbs, even what Christian Watson was at the end of the year. So there's an obvious reason why they could be the pick. Now, why they can't be the pick, it's a tough division. The Bills are still there. The Dolphins look like they could take another step. So no guarantee it clicks either with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, they're also a little bit cheating for this award, too, because they were 7-10 last year. They weren't a total disaster, but they were the worst team from a win percentage standpoint. Like, the Patriots won one more game than them. There's just a chance that it doesn't all click together with Aaron Rodgers in a tough conference, in a tough division. So, Dalton, where do you stand? Should we include the Jets on our list of finalists?
You know, they're clearly one of the very small finalists here. Their defense allowed the fewest yards per play last season. It's a loaded roster, even upside at offensive line. Aaron Rodgers is the big question. If he's, you know, not washed, this team should be a Super Bowl favorite, one of the five Super Bowl favorites. So they're the glaring choice here in our exercise today. Every time I think of Rodgers' YPA, I worry at, you know, this stage of his career and his age, but you brought up the point of his receivers. I mean, the first play of the season was Christian Watson dropping an 80-yard touchdown. That would have added to his YPA right there quite a bit. So Garrett Wilson is the real deal. Breece Hall might be the best running back he's played with in his career athletically. This could be a real special season for the Jets. I know it typically doesn't go like they plan on paper, but man, this looks like a very, very good setup. I wish they'd kept Elijah Moore. Then I'd be even more up for this offense, but I think the Jets are the clear favorites in our exercise today.
And I don't think in an ideal scenario, they're going to ask Aaron Rodgers to be like what Tom Brady was for the Bucks. Like they're not going to push to lead the NFL in passing attempts or like Peyton Manning when he went to Denver and he's throwing like 50 plus touchdowns to a loaded receiver core. Cause this receiver core, it's fine. If Garrett Wilson takes the step that he should take, I think they're going to be totally all right from a receiver perspective. I wouldn't say it's a roster weakness, but you know, Corey Davis is like a passable number two. Alan Lazard is like he's a good number three. You know, they have some gadgety guys like Mecole Hardman and everything. Their tight end room has a lot of names. And I think Tyler Conklin's a pretty decent starter. Their offensive line is the one concern with this team. It's kind of up in the air in terms of who's going to start at tackle. That is a little concerning with Aaron Rodgers. Like I can definitely see the articles at the end of the year, like they squandered this Rodgers thing because they couldn't protect him and he wasn't comfortable all year long. But I do think they belong in the list of finalists just because there's a lot that can go right with this offense. And I pointed this out before. I think Dan Pizzuta from Sharp Football noted this, that typically we see defensive regression when there's a ton of turnovers, but the Jets weren't a heavy turnover team last year on defense. Like you mentioned, they just slowed guys down from a yards per play perspective. So I do think they belong.
To do that when you're getting bottom barrel quarterback play like they were for half the time too. I mean, the defense gets tired and Becton is key, his health. I mean, yeah. I think he's going to attempt to return to left tackle because he claims that injury to his knee was caused by moving to right. But he's key. If he's finally healthy, that would be a massive, just adding top 10 pedigree guy to the left tackle. But yeah, man, they're loaded and I'm kind of down on the Bills. I think they're going to regress. They're going to regress a little here. They had their chance and I think the roster's not quite as good. And yeah, I think the Jets are my favorites to win this division.
Okay. I love it. So they're definitely on our list of finalists. Next division here, AFC North, Cleveland Browns. I'll be honest. This is definitely a team I want to include in the finalists. Here's why they can be the pick. Deshaun Watson, as I always mention, I don't feel bad for him about this. These are circumstances of his own causing. He's not like a victim of circumstance or anything, but he obviously didn't have a normal offseason. He has a full offseason here to shake the rust off. And, you know, for as disastrous as his stretch was last year of six games, it's the clear outlier of his career, even dating back to college. He clearly is the player he was in Houston was a top level quarterback. If he gets back to that, I think they're ready to roll here. I mean, Chubb is primed for a huge year, as we've talked about. I love the addition of Elijah Moore. I think he can be kind of a great finishing piece to this receiver core. You know, if Cedric Tillman is able to take over as the X receiver in time, I think he'd be a big upgrade on Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like, it goes under the radar last year just how not good this receiver room was, even though Amari Cooper had a great year. They're kind of loaded with wide receivers now at this point, if Elijah Moore is the guy that I think he can be. David Njoku is a good tight end. The offensive line is really not a concern here. So now talk about why they can't be the pick. Again, just like the Jets, tough division. They've got four games against the Bengals and the Ravens. And I think the Steelers could be sneaky good this year. You know, they were 9-8 last year. The offense looked decent in the second half of the year. They have pieces on offense to really take another step. And we know the defense is always going to be solid with Mike Tomlin in position there. So it's a tough division for the Browns. Where do you come back? Where do you come down on them?
I agree with all of that. It would take a Joe Burrow injury, possibly. Boy, the Ravens look absolutely loaded on offense. If Lamar can stay healthy, they're going to be tough. And Pittsburgh's offense, even with the Canada returning, you're right. They were quietly far better in the second half, and you expect Pickett to be better. So it's a very tough division. This all comes down to also, though, just Deshaun Watson. 2020, he was arguably the best player in the league, getting 8.9 YPA. Outdoors on a Houston team with a horrible coordinator and no DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, there's certainly an argument he was the best player in the league that year. He was brutal last year, and that's what happens when professional athletes miss an extended period of time. So I have no take here one way or the other, but it all comes down to if Deshaun Watson. The answer is probably somewhere in the middle. He won't go back to being a superstar, but it'll be much better than last year. And where that puts you in this division, even with the solid defense and one of the league's best running backs, probably still another third or fourth place finish.
Yeah, the division definitely has me concerned about them actually being this year's Jaguars and going from worst to first. I think you're right. It would probably take a Joe Burrow injury for that to happen. Because even if the Bengals, I don't think the Bengals are taking a step back. I think Ja'Marr Chase could erupt this year. Like, I think this could be the year Ja'Marr Chase has a Justin Jefferson season from last year. It's going to be a little difficult because T. Higgins is a good player, obviously, and Tyler Boyd's a nice solid slot receiver. He's not going to necessarily command the same amount of raw targets as a guy like Justin Jefferson last year, but he could absolutely have that type of season, right? And I mean, there's just so much good going on in Cincinnati. I'm with you that I love what Baltimore's done, but I still think they probably just – I'm gonna push for them to at least be a finalist, although thinking about the division now has kind of pushed me off of them maybe not being the pick. So let's talk about the AFC West here. The Raiders could definitely be involved in this discussion because they were not good last year, but the Denver Broncos were the fourth place finisher in the AFC West. Here's why they can be this year's Jaguars. They hired Sean Payton. I mean, kind of, period. Sean Payton has an incredible resume, as Andy pointed out a couple of episodes ago, with like non-Drew Brees quarterbacks. And we're talking about he's made a winner out of Teddy Bridgewater. They got good play out of basically anybody but Ian Book that they put under center in the Sean Payton era, which totally understandable why they didn't get great play out of Ian Book as like the fourth quarterback during the COVID season. So understandable there. I think it was the COVID season. It might have been 2021. Regardless, I understand that Sean Payton probably is going to have, you know, an effect on this team in some way. And if Russell Wilson has anything left, I think they're going to get decent. They're going to get decent play on offense, and the defense, I think, is still pretty good. Here's why they can't be the pick. If Russell Wilson is just truly cooked, you know, which I think there's a possibility. AFC West is loaded because the Chiefs are there. The Chargers definitely are a good team as well. You know, it's just if you have a lesser quarterback, it doesn't matter how good Sean Payton like lifts the floor of this team. They just won't have the ceiling to be the type of like a this year's Jaguars type of operation. And we could be definitely looking at a scenario where, you know, Jarrett Stidham is starting for this team because they obviously have some level of intrigue with Jarrett Stidham to give him a contract early in free agency. So, Dalton, where do you come down on Denver Broncos in this exercise?
Broncos are super similar to the last team. We talked about the Browns, a quarterback who used to be an inner circle Hall of Fame type player who was downright bad last year. And we just have no clue how he's going to respond now. Sean Payton is an encouraging hire, no doubt there. But he, you know, Wilson's not necessarily his guy either, though. So I could see going either Wilson bouncing back or them having a completely different future quarterback moving forward. So my main concern with the Broncos this year is I'm very high on Jerry Jeudy, and you are not. So he's the one concern I really have here because I feel like I'm going to have Jeudy on a lot of fantasy teams, which I have already. Dude finished first in yards per out run against man coverage last year, which I think is usually a sign of good things, but I'm coming off the Gabe Davis disaster last year. I'm really worried to keep hearing you on my shoulder telling me not to draft him when I have been. So my concern with the Broncos, a little Javonte Williams' health, but mainly, am I off on Jerry Jeudy? And I should be listening to my man Harmon.
Well, on the Javonte Williams thing, it does seem like reports have been better of late than they were originally. Like he's taken part of, I mean, you know, forgive me if I missed this, but he's taken part of some like offseason OTAs and stuff like that, right?
Yep, limited. Yeah, that's surprising.
Yeah, it's definitely surprising. So on Jerry Jeudy, he's going to be in the next batch of guys that comes out on reception perception. So I got a little bit of work left to do there. But I mean, this is one scenario, Dalton, where the yards per route run difference between the man and the zone is pretty indicative of the player. Some of that is Russell Wilson because he's always been better at man cover, like throwing against man coverage, and he has zone coverage, and there's a lot that goes into that as well. The actual discrepancy there, but Jeudy has always been much better running routes against man coverage than he has been against zone coverage. But still, I mean, I still see Jerry Jeudy listed as like among the top 10 route runners in the NFL, and it drives me nuts because he's just not like he was supposed to be that guy coming out of school. But he's too sloppy, he's too undisciplined, and he's too inconsistent to really be considered in that group. That said, though, when you look at this Broncos receiver room, he's definitely a better player than Cortland Sutton, which I'm not surprised by. I still think Tim Patrick is like a nice three, and Marvin Mims is a rookie, but it might take, and I like Marvin Mims, but it might take a minute for Marvin Mims to get there. So I'm not all out on Jeudy. I guess it depends like where are you ranking Jeudy? Like that'll tell me where, like whether I'm going to tell you like you need to back off that or not here.
He's my wide receiver 18.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I don't know. That's probably way too high. That's probably too high for me. Similar to like Gabe Davis being, you know, where did you have him? Like wide receiver?
He was top. Let's not talk about him. Obscenely high. Yeah. Obscenely too high. Yeah. So you think I might here. Ridley, I moved all the way up to 15. I think you'll get on board with that. Okay. Yeah. So you think it's, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the man stuff is more predictive, right? There's even a podcast referencing all of your work recently. And I believe that was the conclusion, is that it's not all noise and it does matter. And the predictive stuff is man. So that's kind of why I was, a little bit of an eye opener there that he led all receivers last year in the category. But obviously you watch the film and you know his real route running ability. Plus the guy's always injured. I mean, it probably pulled his hamstring by the time we're talking to finish this conversation, but I don't know. I see some upside there, and you know me with the young guys, and yeah, I'm drafting him. I'm drafting him pretty aggressively.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. I think he's just where he settles on like the list of real life NFL receivers. I think people would probably list him higher than I would. There's sort of still this idea that there's unknown upside there. I kind of think like we know who Jerry Jeudy is, which is sort of. And this is not a diss either. I think he's kind of similar to Amari Cooper, who's like somebody that the public has always been higher on than me. Amari Cooper is a good player, but I don't think he is like a true top 10 number one wide receiver. I think he's a bit more of a boom bust volatile guy. And I think Jerry Jeudy will always be a bit more of a boom bust volatile guy. So like, I'm just looking at rankings right now. I would rather have Drake London. I'd rather have Terry McLaurin than Jerry Jeudy. You know, I mean, it does get, I definitely, Calvin Ridley for sure. Tyler Lockett's behind Jerry Jeudy in expert consensus rankings, which is stupid. I would rather have all those guys in Jerry Jeudy. And there's probably a few others I'd sit down to pay myself.
Couple things. Amari Cooper I have ranked back to back with Jeudy. So it's funny you say that. And I would take a bet straight up on that Jeudy versus any three you want there. Drake London, I'm officially just worried about the volume that's going to be there. And Tyler Lockett, dude, I have a hot take. I actually think JSN is going to be the highest scoring Seahawks fantasy receiver over the final, 6 weeks, we'll say.
Okay, well, final 6 weeks.
That's all that matters.
Sort of.
Well, if you're playing for, a best ball tournament or whatever, and he goes way later in drafts. So to me, he's one of the best picks. Metcalf's going like round two or three.
Yeah, that's
and,
crazy.
And JSN's going to outscore him the final month, and you can get him, in round six. Is that crazy? Are they going to not do three wide receiver sets? I'm sorry, we're getting off track here. Sorry.
No. I want to come back. I want to come back.
This bet is on board with any of those: McLaurin, Lockett, or Drake London versus Jeudy this year. We can run it back.
Let's come back to the Seahawks thing, because I'm kind of with you that I think it's annoying that people immediately assume, Tyler Lockett's going to lose out to JSN, when it could easily just be DK Metcalf who loses that. Because I think Tyler Lockett right now is a better, at least equal, but I think a better player than DK Metcalf. And I get he's older, all that type of stuff, but I'm with you. Let's come back to that, because I think that's a really good discussion. But I will definitely take Drake London or Jerry Jeudy bet, father's office for sure. Let's lock that in right now. That is our Gabe Davis, Mike Evans of last year. And at least we got like two exciting young players here.
Love Drake London, to be clear, and I have him ranked just two ticks below. I'm officially worried about the volume and scoring of that offense, and it might be a stay away. I mean, with Pitts and Ritter and a good receiver commanding targets, I worry about London's situation.
And the worries are fair enough. So I think that's a really good bet for us this year. I think we're on the same page, Joe. I don't think the Denver Broncos are a finalist for this year's Jaguars. There's just too much that can go wrong. And even you're not winning the AFC West unless Patrick Mahomes decides to not play football anymore or gets injured, which,
despite Jeudy cracking 2,000 receiving yards, the Broncos will not get first place.
Okay. No to the Denver Broncos. We already nixed the Houston Texans. Let's talk about the Washington Commanders here. A team that I will always be way too high on, because I love Terry McLaurin. Jahan Dotson is that dude as well. Love those receivers. Curtis Samuel, my guy, the pride of Lynchburg, Virginia. Logan Thomas is there as well. That's the reason that they could be the pick. Just like last year's team, the Jaguars, they are good at the skill position spots, even if people don't realize it. I think their receiver trio, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel, is up there, man. Those guys are just waiting to be unlocked. at the wide receiver position. Eric Bieniemy, maybe he's the guy that unlocks the potential there. You know, maybe Sam Howell is really good, or maybe Jacoby Brissett plays like he did with the Cleveland Browns last year, where he's just a steady guy, keeps the ship afloat, and the defense stays really strong under Ron Rivera. And the whole, let's just say, the whole franchise is re-energized with a new owner in town, and Dan Snyder, you know, getting up the hell out of there. Of course, the reason that they can't be the pick, Dalton, is two of the names I mentioned earlier. Like, I yada yada the quarterbacks, Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. You know, the NFC East is pretty tough in terms of the actual, like, NFC. Some of the best teams are in this division, in a weaker conference. So I think a lot's working against them. But, man, those skill position players are pretty tempting in terms of why they could be this year's Jaguars.
I'm picking Washington to make the playoffs this year for sure. It's tough to have them win in the division with the Cowboys and Eagles, although both teams are probably safe bet to regress some this year. I love Washington's defense, love their skill position players, as you mentioned. Eric Bieniemy, a huge wild card. If he is the real deal, then just totally wheels up, because I'm a Sam Howell guy, I've told you. I will actually say I've bumped him up to my 20th fantasy QB. 4-for-4 football projects him to get like 38.6 rushing yards per game this year. I don't think people realize he's the screaming obvious fantasy value to me, especially if you're in a two quarterback league. And the weapons, you said it. I mean, have you seen the highlights of Dotson last year? Dude's the real deal. And McLaurin, he's awesome too. And if he finally has competent quarterback play, even if Howell's just competent, I think this team's going to make the wild card. If he's good, then this team's going to actually be a threat to win the division as soon as this year. So I'm actually really in on this Washington team, but they probably won't win this exercise because, you know, they play in a division with the Eagles and Cowboys.
No, just to add here, as the Cowboys fan in the group and watching a lot of NFC play or NFC East play, if they had Cleveland Browns Jacoby Brissett last year, they're a wild card team this year, if that makes sense, or if they get that from Howell. And frankly, you know, with the ownership change, I mean, it was embarrassing to me to see this team and Ron Rivera not make the playoffs over a team like, say, the Giants, that clearly overperformed last year. And a lot of Commander fans will point to that controversial end of that Sunday night game that kind of decided their fate. Yeah. But if they get Jacoby Brissett level play from either him or Howell, this is a playoff team this year.
New ownership vibes. Great point. Chase Young, maybe he's healthy. Don't you love Curtis Samuel, Harmon?
Yeah,
what
dude.
If he actually stays healthy as a number three option? I mean, man, there's a lot to like here.
And you said, have you seen the highlights on Jahan Dotson? I've seen him run routes, man. The guy he's great. I think, you know, I mean, you know, I love Terry McLaurin. I think Terry McLaurin's like a fringe top 10 real life NFL receiver. So I kind of push back on the idea like, oh, Jahan Dotson could be better than Terry McLaurin. But I mean, it's worth a conversation that he could be one of the best. Like, I think Jahan Dotson could do what Devontae Smith did last year. If Sam Howell is elevated by, if Terry McLaurin is elevated by Sam Howell, or Sam Howell is probably more so elevated by elevated by Terry McLaurin and Eric Bieniemy and all these guys. I like that you point out the rushing stuff with Sam Howell. 828 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns his final year at North Carolina. You know, you and my dad are Sam Howell's biggest fans. So if he's a good quarterback and like Washington gets the best quarterback play, and I'm with Colin too. Joey Brissett was what, like 12th, 11th in EPA per dropback last year. He was a very, very good, efficient quarterback. So if that quarterback play is there, Jahan Dotson, even if he's not better than the number one receiver on his team, like I think Devontae Smith is a really good player. He's not better than AJ Brown. AJ Brown's just a straight up better real life NFL receiver than Devontae Smith right now. Maybe Devontae Smith closes that gap at some point, but I still think he's a better player. And I think the same will remain of these Washington receivers. I think it would be a tough task because that's how high I am on Terry McLaurin. But people will have that conversation with you about Devontae Smith and AJ Brown right now. And I think by the end of the year, very least, like Jahan Dotson could get himself into that Devontae Smith situation where you're having a conversation about him versus Terry McLaurin, or even T. Higgins. Like, I think Jahan Dotson could get himself into the T. Higgins group where he is not just people are, you know, talking like he's not a number two receiver. He could be a number one receiver for this team and this team and this team and that team. I think that's how good Jahan Dotson can be in his second season. So that's why Washington can do this, is because, like, we haven't even talked about Brian Robinson, who had a really nice rookie season. And, you know, they're talking about Antonio Gibson again. We'll see. Colin's like shaking his head no in the background there. Clearly somebody who's drafted Antonio Gibson before, but regardless.
Correct.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Regardless.
People like Chris Rodriguez.
Yeah, they said they had like a third round grade on Chris Rodriguez. So there's just so much potential here from a skill position standpoint. And I think Jacoby Brissett would be a really good steady hand for this team. But yeah, I'm with you that if Sam Howell's the key here. If he comes out and has like a huge season, I think they could compete with those teams in the NFC. Maybe not Philadelphia, but I think they could compete with Dallas. I think they could be better than New York this year if Sam Howell is good. But I do always want to say, when we talk about Sam Howell, he was a day three rookie who the team didn't want to play until the final week of the season last year. And it's conservative coaching staff, all of that. But still, let's just keep that in mind when we talk about Sam Howell.
Okay, but his stats in college supposedly could have been a much higher draft pick. And, oh, the day three rookie wasn't ready to play the first. He wasn't ready right away. That took just a little bit. All yeah. I know is that Curtis Samuel says that he's out here, quote unquote, throwing dots right now. Yeah. But said it's a good point, though. If I'm wrong about Howell, and obviously the odds are against him where he was drafted to become an above average NFL quarterback. But Brissett will play maybe average-ish type QB play. So, and that's all this team needs with the rest around him to be a wild card threat for sure. But I do weirdly have some optimism that Howell was just teams missed him in that draft. But we'll yeah. see.
You and my dad, you know, who I'm going to be seeing a lot more of now that I'm back on the East Coast. Right. So he will be over the next few weeks. I can see it now. I'm in a beach chair on Emerald Isle. You know, I got a land shark in my hand. And my dad's, did you see about what Sam Howell? You see Sam Howell? You see the OTA clip? You see how I can see it now? It's gonna be you in my text and my dad in my ear on the beach chair across from me. About you see Sam Howell? Yeah, you see Curtis Samuel is throwing darts. My dad would be so pissed if he knew that I did that voice on the podcast. But
I love it.
Sorry, Dad. I know you're not listening. But anyways, all right. So, Commanders, are they in? Are they a finalist or no? We only have two finalists right now.
Put them as a finalist, even though they're in a really hard division. Sure, why not?
All right, cool. Because after thinking about it, I kind of like them a little bit better than the Browns, which feels so stupid. But,
yeah, like a Jalen Hurts misses, 6 weeks. Who knows? I mean, that Cowboys team with McCarthy running the show, who knows also? Absolutely, they're finalists. Yes.
Do want to point out, no team has repeated as NFC East champ since like 2004. So it's a rotating cast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the weirdest division of all time, and now it's kind of come full circle, where it was a total joke for a while despite it always being on primetime. Now they're actually like, there's a lot of watchable teams here. All right, you talk about the Bears here. All right, let's outline why they can be the pick. Justin Fields takes a Trevor Lawrence leap in his which is, they're in the same draft class, but he gets a certified number one receiver. I think, though, DJ Moore is not a top 10 guy. I don't even know if he's top 15 real life NFL receiver, but he's definitely a true wide receiver one. And, Christian Kirk was, DJ Moore's a better player than Christian Kirk, let me say that. But like Christian Kirk and like Evan Ingram and those boys, got to Jacksonville last year, and they took a receiver core that was rolling out Laquon Treadwell at times during Trevor Lawrence's rookie year and made it passable. Not even just passable. They made it a pretty good receiver room, with Zay Jones also doing his thing there too. DJ Moore is going to come in here and take this group from, hilarious last year with Justin Fields. And it's going to be pretty good. Like, DJ Moore is your one, either Chase Claypool or Darnell Mooney is your wide receiver two. And then the other guy's the wide receiver three. That's pretty good. They added some guys on the offensive line. The defense is definitely still a question mark, but obviously Matt Eberflus's specialty is defense. You'd think they could eventually get that group going if some of the young guys step up. So there's a lot of reasons why you could be optimistic about the Bears. And I don't know, Dalton, you wanted to X them out right away. Do you still feel like they don't belong in this list?
Love Fields in fantasy, have him ranked aggressively, but he just had the worst sack rate of any qualifying quarterback since Jake Plummer in 1997. Led the league in sack percentage, sacks, fumbles, second worst in interception percentage, despite having the second fewest drops in the league and rarely throwing. You just need to make a massive, massive, massive jump here. That would be my take. Players get better. He's young and he obviously has flashes, some of the best highlights. And again, I'm in fantasy. I think I have him ranked as my QB4. But in real life terms, I just think there's major growth needed here that's not going to happen in 1 year.
And he didn't exactly finish on the highest note, Justin Fields. His final game against the Detroit Lions, he went 7 of 21 for 75 yards and you know, one touchdown, one interception. He ran 10 times for 132 yards, so that was great. But from a passing perspective, and look, I get it. The receiver core last year, like we're talking about Equanimeous St. Brown getting targets in that game. You know, N'Keal Harry getting getting targets in that game. I Velus Jones involved in the mix there. You know, the receiver core was bad, but still. I don't think he necessarily showed like all season long a growth trend. I think there was a huge spike. We talked about this on the show at the Super Bowl, Austin and I, about like after that Washington game on Thursday night, they really refreshed the offense. And I like what Luke Getsy brings to the table here. I think they met in the middle there, him and Justin last year. I just think it wasn't like the cleanest finish there from Justin Fields, but I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to put them as a finalist. But
I will say that the Lions led this division with a plus 26 point differential last year. The other three teams were negative. I'm in on the Lions, but this certainly isn't some crazy tough division. No. I mean, the Vikings are 13-4, but negative point differential. So it is definitely a winnable division here. And boy, I love Khalil Herbert. I think the rookie Johnson's going to be overdrafted. He's not going to be a thing in the NFL. Foreman's there, and Fields steals touchdowns, and Herbert, you know, pass protection. But I think he's going to be the guy that emerges there, and Fields will open up lanes. And I'm very much in on Khalil Herbert. Way out on DJ Moore. Just way out in this offense.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Would you rank them, if we're thinking about the end, like if we put them as a finalist here, would you rank them ahead of the Jets, Commanders, or Browns? Any of them?
Not me. No. No.
Okay. Yeah. I think I could rank them ahead of the Commanders and the Browns just because of the division that they're in. But if you're not gonna, then we don't need to include them as a finalist, because I think we don't need like a bunch of them. And somebody from this next division, the last one we'll talk about here before we vote on our who's actually going to be the pick here, the NFC South. Falcons, Panthers, Saints. Which one of the three do we like the most to be this team here? I know strongly which one I want to include here, but I want to hear what you think first.
Okay, so I use adjusted net yards per attempt, mainly when I'm trying to pick my survivor, using teams' offense and defense. I'll tell you, last year, you know, number one was the Eagles, number two was the Chiefs, number three, the 49ers, number four, the Bills, number five, the Cowboys. So this checks out, right? Number seven, the Bengals. Those are the best teams in the NFL. Guess who number six was? An adjusted net yards per attempt for offense and defense last year.
Definitely not the Panthers. And I'm going to say not the Saints. Was it the Falcons?
The Saints.
The Saints, really?
The Saints. Yeah. I mean, the quarterback situation, who knows? But I mean, that is just a weird, weird stat. What if Michael Thomas returns healthy? Olave's emerging star. I like Shaheed. Kendre Miller. But if Derek Carr is competent, I don't know. But I know Andy Dalton played pretty well too last year. I know not for fantasy or whatever, but like you look at all the PFF nerd stuff, under the hood stuff, they considered him like very above average play from the position, quarterback position. But I don't know what to make of that. Maybe absolutely nothing, but that just totally stuck out like a sore thumb. I don't have a pick other than that. But I think this comes down to Desmond Ridder ready to play quarterback, because the rest of that roster is the one that's ready to emerge. It's the Falcons. Certainly not Tampa Bay, the team that won. I'd pick them last year.
Same. Yeah, same. And I think the Panthers love the potential of the defense with Jiro Evero in town. I think that could be really fun. Panthers, you know, Bryce Young, the coaching staff is great, but they're not in this group to me.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay. Interesting. All right.
I think I'd still rank them third in the division. I'm ready to be wrong about that for sure. I just think that they don't have necessarily the juice from the skill position standpoint. They have a lot of competent guys. They have a lot of competent NFL players that they paid very heavily to get those dudes. You know, Hayden Hurst, DJ Chark, Adam Thielen, whatever he's got left. I like Jonathan Mingo a lot, but is he going to be ready to rock and hit the ground running from day one? I've seen there's some, you know, training camp or OTA hype from Terrace Marshall. Okay, we'll see. I just think there's a long way for them to go, but I think they could be. I think, again, they're similar with the Texans there. If the Panthers win, you know, 7-8 games this year, I'm feeling great if I'm a Panthers fan, which I'm not. I'm feeling great if I'm a Panthers fan. But I don't necessarily know that they can have the juice to be this year's Jaguars. I'm interested in the Saints, as you mentioned. I think they'd be the favorite to win the division right now. So they're definitely in this conversation. And my response to all of the, did you see where Andy Dalton ranks and this stat and this stat? Well, like, he's thrown to a receiver who was literally always open in Chris Olave. And I get they had like nobody else really along with him for most of the season. But Shaheed, I'm with you. Interesting player. Michael Thomas, we'll see. But Chris Olave is ready to take that step into superstardom, just like Garrett Wilson is. Garrett Wilson brings you definitely more after the catch. But again, I talked about this on my other podcast. I'm like, I don't care. If you're open on a dig route, out route, and you give me 14 yards, like a very Tyler Lockett-ish, great, cool. That's just as good as if you catch a little 7-yard pass on a Mickey Mouse route and break a bunch of tackles to get 14 yards. I don't care. Actually, the first receiver, I think, is more predictable and more valuable. But anyway, so that's my Chris Olave rant. I love Chris Olave. I think that the defense, if it's still good, the Saints could easily win the division. But let me, dude, the Falcons are the team I want to put in here so bad. The skill position group is just so awesome. Drake London, who we talked about earlier, I think is, again, just like Chris Olave, just like Garrett Wilson, he showed a ton last year. He's one of these guys, like I mentioned earlier, that's over 70% success rate versus man, over 80% success rate versus zone and reception perception, over 70% success rate versus press. Those are the guys you want to bet on to become like the next alpha receivers in the NFL. And I think Drake London could be that guy. I think people are giving up on Kyle Pitts way too soon. Marcus Mariota was the worst starting quarterback in the NFL, not named Zach Wilson last year. Desmond Ridder in the final four games, he wasn't great, but he was functional. And if he takes a step from functional rookie to really solid starter in his second season, even if he's just a solid average starting quarterback in the NFL, they added like professional football players on defense. The offensive line is good. I think the Falcons are, honestly, I want to put them in a finalist because I think they might be my favorite team for this, Dalton.
I'm with you to put the Falcons finalists for sure. I wouldn't write off Carolina. They're one game off winning the division last year and added Bryce Young. But yeah, despite my adjusted net yard stat with the Saints, I'm with you on the Falcons here. They're going to take that step. We need Ridder to be competent. But man, Robinson, London, and Pitts. And you didn't even, did you even talk about Arthur Smith? You love the offense. Some people give him a hard time circles, but you like him in real life terms. So
people are probably now sick of me talking about it, which is why I didn't want to say about
No, I'm with you. Let's put them as finalists. I think that they're going to go from worst to first.
I think we can, but I think we could include, do you want to include the Saints too? Just because they finished all with the same record, even if the Falcons are the fourth place team here. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, it looks like if we believe in that stat at all, it looks like they have some upside.
All right. So we have five finalists here for this year's Jaguars. Dalton wouldn't let me include the Bears, so Bears fans, you can at Dalton Del Don for that one. Let's you rank them, and I rank them, and then we pick our winner here. Jets, Commanders, Browns, Falcons, Saints, our five finalists here. Who is most and least likely to be this year's Jaguars out of this group?
Bears had by far the worst point differential in the conference last year. Only the Colts had worse by 1 point. Boy, I'm happy with how I would say from the most likely is the Jets. The second most is Washington. And then we could quibble. Probably I'd put Falcons third. But yeah, I think the Jets are the favorites here to win, and they could even win the Super Bowl. And I like the Commanders, man. I know that seems crazy in the division, but I think that I really like them, their upside. And then I don't have as much confidence in Watson. And then the Falcons are dealing with two other teams that could as well. So personally, that's where I'm going, Jets. And then I'm going Commanders. And then I don't really have a take.
Okay. So if I'm going to go top three on these.
Yeah, Falcons. Put it for me, Falcons officially. That's good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. Your top three is Jets, Commanders, Falcons. Yeah. I think mine is... I'm going Falcons. I'm going Falcons at the top. I'm going Falcons is the most likely. And then I'll go Jets. And yeah, I really, going into this, I thought I was going to say Browns. And I still think the Browns deserve to be mentioned here. But I just think going from worst to first in that division is too tough to ask. So I will go Commanders, who I'm great. This is like the 10th year in a row I've talked myself into the Commanders being like a sneaky team just because I love their receiver room so much. It's not the 10th, but regardless. So, all right. So, Colin, does that mean you get to break the tie here and decide based on our top three here? We both have the same three teams: Jets, Commanders, Falcons, just in different orders. So who is this year's Jaguars? We have to decide this as a group now.
Yeah, no, I think all three are realistic playoff teams. But I think sticking with this year's Jaguars theme, worst to first, the Jets play in a division with the Dolphins and obviously the Bills. And the Commanders play in a division with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Falcons don't have those teams in their division. So I think I have to give the edge to Matt Harmon. I think all these teams make the playoffs, but I think this year's Jaguars, we're going to give to Matt Harmon. We're going to give to the Atlanta Falcons.
I like it. Dalton.
They're going to be a fun team, man. Ritter, if Ritter's good, that'll be a fun team. I'm rooting for him. I hope that is the Falcons. That'd be a good one for fantasy terms too. What were you going to say about the Jets? Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is Swiftie. I think it's cheating.
You see him dancing at Swiftie, dancing at the Taylor Swift. You might have missed that on your trip, but
I saw it. No. Somebody sent it to me. I saw that. I mean, he's vibing. He's feeling great. I just think if we're really thinking about this year's Jaguars, if we're breaking ties, there's just too, like, it's kind of cheating. Aaron Rodgers makes it cheating, I think, a little bit, because he's like they're dropping a Hall of Fame quarterback on a really good young roster. It's like, well, yeah, of course. That's why they're the favorite, I think, to go worst to first, just because early. I mean, I guess they're the favorite just because I think they just dropped the Hall of Fame quarterback on a good roster. Like, it makes a ton of sense. But if it's like a young team that takes the next step, the Falcons are Commanders, I think, who, you know, I would have been fine if we went with Commanders for this one. But I think that, you know,
I think what you're trying to say, Harmon, is like the Jets this year is like the 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers is what they are.
Yeah. They're more the 2020 Tampa Bay Buccaneers than like this year's Jaguars. But
I think I saw Scott Barrett tweeted that the Jets had the most passing yards per game when Zach Wilson didn't play.
Yes.
I mean, he's also stepping into that situation.
Right.
I mean,
right.
This is pretty unique.
Yeah. And I don't know how I can say, like, we need to calm down with the Sam Howell thing and be like, but hey, Desmond Ritter, like Desmond Ritter is the answer or anything like that. So it's a tough exercise. And I think honestly, some of the teams that we lopped off here, Browns, Saints, even I'll still say the Bears just because I want Andy to keep talking to me. I want him to come on the podcast eventually. That'd be nice. I think there's a lot of good contenders for this. This is, I think, my prediction, in addition to the Falcons being like a breakout team this year, and I want to continue to stamp that on the podcast. My other prediction is I think this is going to be one of the hardest ones to decide here, just because there are a lot of good reasons why these teams could be good. But you, in addition to predicting some of these teams like the Browns being good, you also have to predict teams in their division being not so good. And I think with the Jets, you can definitely talk yourself into why the Dolphins aren't going to be good. Like, they have a quarterback injury. I mean, that's kind of easy. With Buffalo, I think it's a little bit more difficult. But Dalton, you brought up some points earlier that you're a little bit concerned about them. And so I think it's fair. So I don't know, man. I think this is going to be one of the hardest ones to decide. But this was good. This was a very good intro to the podcast series.
And you know the league has good parity when we can only write off one team that we think right away has no chance of going from worst to first. So yeah, good stuff, Harmon. And glad to have you back, man. Congrats on the move.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Still a lot to do. I'm looking forward to being in, as much as I love this condo cast setup with a damn bunk bed over here and a folding table. And I'm actually sitting on a deck chair right now because the folding table that I bought for this setup was way too tall. That didn't work. As much as this is nice, I'm looking forward to being in our actual house here in a couple of weeks. So, but that is going to do it for our first edition of the Condo Cast. It's going to do it for our first edition of Flip the Script series. Dalton, you crushed it. Colin, way to come down and judge correctly on the right side of history that I indeed had the right pick. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dalton Del Don. Again, if you want to get your Bears feelings out, it's at Dalton Del Don. He's not going to tweet back at you anyways. At Matt Harmon _BYB. That's me there. Write an updated review of the show. That'd be great. Tell us about how much you just love the Condo Cast. Love me referencing that I'm podcasting from a damn folding table here, because that's really incredibly professional. Next Tuesday, Frank Schwab joins me for the next part of the Flip the Script series, where we're going to determine who is this year's Broncos, a team with a lot of hype that completely craters. That's going to be fun. Even more, nothing better than saying who's going to be bad, who's going to disappoint everybody. So until then, we're out.